You're on a GLP-1. Your appetite is changing, your cravings quiet down, and food noise is finally fading. But now you're wondering, how do I manage my side effects? What do I eat to stay strong? How do I break through a plateau? Because reaching your weight loss goals can take more than meds. That's where Weight Watchers Med Plus comes in. The support designed to help you navigate what comes next. With trusted experts who guide you, food plans that work with your body, support to help manage side effects, plus access to GLP-1 medication. Weight Watchers Med Plus is designed to help you lose more weight. Watch it work. Get started today at WeightWatchers.com. All medical services are provided through our affiliated medical group, Weight Watchers Clinic. Medications require eligibility and prescription. Individual results may vary. See site for more details.
I am Sir Matt.
And I'm Sir Jimmy of House Nuts. Welcome back to our Song of Ice and Fire book club. Today we are into John 10 of A Storm of Swords. I think we have one more John chapter to go after this one. Mm-hmm. But this is a good one. A little bit of Janice Slint in there. A little bit of mention of Mance Rayder.
Slint, man. He's just like, it basically is just like, oh, he says something at the beginning of like, Mance Rayder heard I was here. It's like, what are you talking about,
dude? Yeah, like, dude. The amount
have
of
no fear, important. Janice Slint is here, bro. I laughed so freaking hard when I heard that.
Yeah, Janice Slint is a grade A douche, that's for sure. Matt, how are you? How you doing?
Man, I just got a lot going on, you know. I feel like I have an ear infection. Something's going on with my ears right now. It's just that pool water, you know, baby swim lessons. And I can tell because I get them very easily. And like, suddenly I have super hearing and also bad hearing at the same time. And it feels like I'm in, you know, it feels like my ears are in like a seashell. I don't know. So
that doesn't sound very pleasant.
Yeah, there's a whole lot going on. It could also just be the weather. We were like right at the point now to where it's like, we're about almost turned the air conditioning on today.
I mean, not to be a boomer and talk about the weather, but I got to tell you, last Thursday, 80 degrees, sunny, played a beautiful round of golf. Friday, it snowed. And then we had a tornado warning on Monday. Mm-hmm.
So, well, my parents who are, you know, they're still in Ohio, both of them messaged me and like, you know, they live on like opposite sides of town. And my dad was like, yeah, I was out of power for like 3 days. It's like his power went out like Thursday night or Friday when they had a big snowstorm and windstorm. Like, and then like I said, it wasn't even gonna come back on until last night, but they did get it back earlier. My mom said the same thing. Yeah, they're out of power for like 3 days.
Now, did they get hit by the meteor? Did you see this?
I did see that. I messaged them and they said they didn't hear a boom or anything. But yeah, I mean,
you think magic's coming back into the world?
I hope so. We need it.
Or is it disclosure day? Is it time?
Who knows?
Are you gonna watch the Spielberg movie Disclosure Day? Have you seen this?
I've seen the previews for it. Looks good,
dude. It looks sick.
Yeah,
you're a big UFO guy. I thought you'd be more excited about it.
Yeah,
are you off it? Are you done
off UFOs? No, I mean, well, now everyone's like, hey, UFO. Now even the government's like, yeah, UFO aliens are real. So
it was
more fun when everyone's like, they're not real, and it's like that 1000% are. I mean, come on now, like.
Matt's now on the contrary and training's like, no, they're not real. Matt's flipped.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, before it was like in society, if you believed in conspiracy theories, you were the crazy person. And now if you don't believe in a conspiracy theory, you're the crazy person. Right. It's like remember for years with like aliens, it was like, oh, tiny green man. Oh, you just believe in tiny green man. Now everyone's like, yeah, it's probably true. Yeah, I can see that. You know, people before the government's behind it all and stuff. And now everyone's like, oh, yeah, the government's definitely behind it all. Right. And so that's just where we're at in society now. But if you don't believe in any sort of conspiracy now, it's like, hold on, you just believe everything they're telling you. Like, that's where we're at. It's crazy.
I'm a pretty hardcore skeptic, and I would say I get looked at. Yeah, I get more ridicule than I would imagine I would get for being a skeptic. But, you know, the thing is, there's always a healthy mix.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, there's some stuff that's outrageous, and then there's some stuff that's...
You just have to push further when people start talking conspiracy. Like, let's say the moon.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, people will be like, oh, yeah, you think the moon landing? You think that was real? You just tell them, you think the moon is real? Like, oh, okay, buddy.
Do you think that a Song of Ice and Fire?
Okay. Like,
do you think a Song of Ice and Fire fandom is more prone to conspiracy theories?
Oh yeah, dude. We're that's what we do is research.
That's all we do.
We're researching fictional theories. We believe there's conspiracy theories inside of a fictional universe that the author is concealing. You know, I mean,
we don't have anything else better to do.
Yeah, I did see on TikTok that people are saying that's like a new party trend. It's like invite people over and like have them prepare like a PowerPoint presentation for your like chosen conspiracy theory.
Oh my God.
I think that's awesome. I'm super down for that.
That's the most social media thing I've ever heard.
I think it's great.
If you wanted to come over to my house and break bread and you brought a PowerPoint on a flash drive, I tell you,
it's like everyone does. So it'd be like you present yours and then I would present mine. You know, it's like you have people. So everyone gets like a little like a mini presentation of like,
I could see how that would be really fun.
Yeah, I think that would be fun. You know, it's not like you just come over and you're just like, hey, here's this conspiracy theory I prepared. I mean, it would be like a party in which everyone gets like, you know, a 3 to 5 minute PowerPoint presentation about what they're doing. I think that'd be fun.
I mean, that could very well be fun because then you get, even if you don't believe it, you get to defend it, right? Sure. And that reminds me a little bit of when we used to hold wrestler's court in wrestling. And so
I've heard of this.
Yeah, yeah. And like, you know, whether or not you really think the person should be convicted, like you play it up. Like, and it's very fun. Very, very fun. I mean, everybody likes a good courtroom drama, right?
Sure.
What do you think about that? I'm going way out of list. Sorry, folks. Okay. Have you seen this Nancy Guthrie stuff? How do you feel about this?
I don't know. I saw it, but I don't know anything about
it. I'm in deep. Okay. It's not healthy.
She's like the mom of somebody who's famous.
Susanna Guthrie, who is
like a morning talk show.
Yeah. I always forget which one it is.
I used to watch morning news and I couldn't tell you the last time because once we dropped cable.
No one does.
Nobody does it. Yeah. It used to be on. We used to have it on every day, but
yeah, Good Morning America.
Yeah.
Yeah. But okay. I'll digress. But
that's okay.
I'm in deep.
You can go into it. I don't know. I'm sure people want to know.
I you know what? As soon as I don't want to be the source of any information about
because I'll clip it up and I'll share it.
It is very unclear what has happened. I will say that, and hopefully they find her, but my goodness, it's been
she's
like
still missing?
Months. Oh, bro, they have no idea what's going on.
I thought I saw something about somebody at her house or the police were there investigating her.
The FBI's been back and forth like three times. The local sheriff's not cooperating with the FBI. And it turns out that the FBI prosecuted him and three of his guys, and one of them had killed himself before he went to trial. And this guy has a 98 disapproval rate from his own precinct. And he lied on his resume to get elected to be sheriff. Like, it's a shame is what it is. It's a shame because an incompetent person is leading a massive missing persons case. Now, the counter argument to that is there are other people missing too. We only care about this person because
I've seen. Yeah.
Which whatever. I mean, I understand that too. Like if my loved one was missing, I'd feel that way for sure. But it's just a horrible situation. And like there's Ring camera footage and the person acts really dumb. Like he tries to cover up the Ring camera with a leaf, but he's clearly smart enough because he hasn't been caught. So was it like planned?
I'm going to look into this.
Oh, it's definitely worth looking
into. It's been sensationalized clearly because now I'm like, well, this sounds juicy. And it's clearly like also terrible at the same time because like somebody's missing.
That's a problem with true crime. No matter what you do, it is still even at its best, it's still somewhat.
I have a buddy. His. I have a buddy who I grew up with, my next door neighbor. His brother became a missing person, and his mom, his name's Andy Chapman. That's the one who's missing, by the way. If anybody has any information, you go look at it up on Facebook. Quick little plug there. But no, and it was like his mom has like been leading this thing for years. I mean, like Facebook page, she's gotten billboards printed, like in Ohio, like talked to the new, like been on like news and all this stuff. And it's just like, man, people go missing and like, it's just wild.
All the time. And actually the families are the ones who push, because once it goes cold, which doesn't take that long.
And I actually just saw today, because I follow the Facebook, they have a Facebook page that's really big. And it's just like, they're always talking about stuff, and it's actually, you know, in a good way, she's like become a big leader, the mom, in like helping other families and stuff like that. And so now, like, and so now these like local coffee shops in the Columbus area are, you know, the when you get your coffee and it's got the little cup holder thing.
Yeah,
they're putting like missing people on there, which I think that's a good idea.
They should.
Because a lot of people have it for like a second, and then, you know, you just throw it away. I mean, but I think that's a good way to, that's a good idea. Cause that's like something people will look at for a second. I mean, and then, I mean, you know,
any chance.
Sure. Helps,
right.
Yeah.
And you never know. I mean, they thought for sure Elizabeth Smarth was dead, and turns out, you know, she was in the mountains with some crazy guy, which was awful, but I thought she was dead.
Oh yeah. Oh, we can talk about that stuff for a while. That's just wild.
Yeah.
All the different stories.
I'm real into
You're deep.
It. I'm deep. Okay. Yeah. I'm listening to live streams of like ex cops going over it and just playing PGA 2K25. It's a nightmare, Matt. Matt, I'm in a bad spot, man.
It's okay. Well, hey, it's okay. We have some good news here, by the way.
Okay.
So I actually saw this, by the way, a few weeks ago, and then the team actually reached out to us and said this. And so it's a, like, there's a lot of these like podcast sites that like track different podcasts and all this stuff. And so anyway, so the guys over at Podcast FeedSpot, which I actually saw, I was just searching for around Night of the Seven Kingdoms to see, you know, once the show comes on, we usually get a big bump in listeners. Yeah. So I always like to see how we're doing in the ratings and stuff. And they had published a list, the top 30 Song of Ice and Fire podcasts. And we were on the list.
Where were we?
We were number 7, which I'll take.
Hey, John Elway. Hey. Oh yeah.
Hey, seven's a good number in a Song of Ice and Fire.
That is true.
So, I mean, they had us above some other ones, some other pretty big podcasts.
What was the metrics like?
I have no idea. They just ranked them.
and you've reached out?
No, they actually reached out to me, and I saw it, and I wasn't going to say anything. And so they said, hey, would you please share this? And I said, yeah, because I saw it myself earlier and thought it was pretty cool. So, so they had us at number 7. Of course, you know, like number 1 is like the official Game of Thrones one, and then number 3 is Salt Ship Dex. I mean, he's like the GOAT.
He's the GOAT. I mean, he's my favorite YouTuber.
History of Westeros is right there too. And then
they're amazing.
Yeah.
Honestly, there's a ton of amazing people in this community that make content.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. So some of the other ones, Radio Westeros is right there as well. And I've never really listened to them that much. I know, I mean, a couple episodes here and there. I know like they've been around for a long time, and they're clearly like, that's anytime you see people like say, because I do check on Reddit every now and then, but people are like, hey, podcast recommendations, we get like 1 out of 100. But Radio Westeros and like History of Westeros are like always like the top 2.
You know, so I'll be honest with you, I always get Radio Westeros mixed up for just being History of Westeros, and I don't know if I've actually listened to Radio Westeros is scripted, right? Is that the one that's scripted? I don't mean that as an insult, by the way.
I don't know. I think History of Westeros is more scripted.
Are they the ones that scripted?
He does like big production stuff.
Dude, they got a team over there.
Oh, it's deep. I mean, like every time I've ever clicked on something, they've got like maps, and it's a big deal.
One of their best episodes, I don't know why I'm plugging them, because if you're listening to this, you probably know about them, but the Iron Bank episode from like 4 years ago is one of the best episodes. It's so good.
Yeah. I wish we had episodes like that, that people were like, oh man, that episode again. Ben Lee, really My Blood Raven theory is doing pretty good on YouTube. So that's
people fun. Like it?
Yeah, that's pretty fun.
Yeah, let's go.
Okay, so we had a raven, and we're going to dive into this. We talked about it doing last week and stuff like that. And so we are going to do a, this is from Sir Douglas of the Burning River, asked us to come up with a, like a trial by seven. So Jimmy and I are each going to pick seven people and we are going to build out our team. Okay. You cannot have anyone, these are all book versions, so you can't have like show Jon Snow, as we said last week, because that'd be like ridiculous. Maybe even show Daemon Targaryen might be too OP.
Yeah, he's pretty.
He might be a little more OP than book Daemon.
Yeah.
But we're each going to pick seven people. You can't choose anyone supernatural, so you can't pick like White Walkers or giants, or I would say the mountain post transformation would be unfair, but I mean, I
guess okay.
The mountain, you know, whatever. So anyway, we're gonna pick our seven here. Jimmy, I'm letting you go first.
Wait, hold on, is this a snake draft? Like person goes second gets to pick two in a row?
No, I mean we could do that.
I think we got a snake draft. I think you have to go snake draft.
Then let's flip. I have a guitar pick here.
Okay.
What do you want? Heads will be the side with text on it. Tails will be the side without text on it.
I'm going to go text up.
Okay.
Oh, watching Matt.
Jesus Christ. Okay, I dropped it on the floor. You won. You get to go first.
Well, Matt, who do you think I'm going to draft? That's a better question.
First pick, you got to go Barristan Selmy. I mean,
Barristan Selmy's it. Put me down for old Barristan.
Okay, so I get two in a row?
You get two in a row, yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, this is tough, man. I got to go. Let's see here. I got to go Arthur Dayne.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to go Dunk.
Sir Dunk the Tall.
Yeah.
This early.
I mean, dude, he beats some pretty, he wins a lot of battles. I mean, he beats Arian Brightflame. He beats Lionel Baratheon. He clearly has some other pretty big fights, man. I think Dunk is worthy.
Yeah, maybe you're right. I mean, it's also a pretty popular choice with the fans. So you're trying to play fanfare here. That's not fair.
I'm not trying to, I'm just picking.
Now, I believe I get two picks now, right?
Yeah, you get two picks. It'll be, we should get two picks after this. Yeah.
I'm trying to like remember if there's anyone like very obvious that I should be picking before I take my next two picks. So let me reflect on that for a minute. Okay, I've reflected on that for a minute. I'm going to take Jaime Lannister. Okay. And I'm going to take Oberyn Martell.
Ooh, dang. I wanted him.
I think he's really good.
Okay, back to me. See, this is where you go, man. Do I go with like somebody back in the day, like Aegon the Conqueror? Like, was he really that good of a sword fighter, or was
we
it
don't
just
know.
Dragons? We just right? Don't know. Or do you go with like the Dragon Knight, who everyone said was really good?
It's a good question.
You know, I am gonna go. Man, I really don't. Dang, this is tough because one of my guys will get stolen. But you know what? I believe in Dunk that he could take on somebody who I think you're going to take. So I'm going Mance Rayder.
Mance Rayder?
Yeah, you want to know why?
Okay, why?
Remember when he's fighting Jon Snow and he's training with him when he's Rattleshirt? And he's like giving Jon Snow the business. And Jon's like, bro, this is like insane. Like even Jon Snow is like, even Jon Snow is like, oh man, I don't know. I don't know. But that might be cheating because he could in theory be like Rhaegar or, you know, Arthur Dayne. We don't know. But I'm taking Mance Rayder. And I'm also taking Jon Snow.
Okay. Taking Jon Snow.
Even book Jon Snow because everyone says he's so good. And I have to go with it.
Okay. So I have what, three people?
Yeah. So you get two more.
Right.
Yeah.
So I get two more, and then okay. Man, there's a couple that I was thinking about, but I'm not sure. There's one that's kind of risky because I can't remember how much his martial prowess is like mentioned. He's clearly like an important knight.
Right.
but I don't know what his martial prowess was, so I might wait to take him. But if you take him, I'll be pissed. Like that's kind of where I'm at. I'm gonna go Brienne of Tarth.
Whoa, I'm not expecting that.
Yeah, Brienne of Tarth, and I'm gonna take Sandor Clegane.
Wait, Sandor Clegane or Gregor Clegane?
I'm taking Sandor.
Oh, dang, man, that was another one I wanted. Tough.
I think the Hound just beats the Mountain. I
know, and you know, that's my hesitance. I was like, man, I was thinking about taking the Mountain, but I'm like, is he really that good, or is it just like he's good at like wrecking people who aren't that good?
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Okay, now, man, this is tough because there's somebody I really want to take. But again, I don't know if the show is influencing me, and I have to think back to that chapter. I might skip Ned Stark. I was thinking about it.
Yeah.
But you know who I am taking?
Alan
Robert Reed. Baratheon.
You son of a bitch. You son of a bitch. I knew it.
Everyone says he's a freaking monster. So I'm taking Robert Baratheon.
Yeah, and you get a little bit of diversity in a weapon.
Okay, so I get get a little. Man, I almost should go Arian Brightflame after watching that fight with Dunk. But that's
that. Book, yeah,
that's
we're show, book only here.
That's
we're
show and that show influencing me.
All right.
Okay, so no, I still have one more. I still have one more.
Is this your seventh?
This is my sixth. So then we go 1-1.
Okay.
Man, how good is Loras Tyrell? Is he really that good? I think I'm gonna go. Oh, I gotta go back. Dang. Everyone talks about Daemon Blackfyre like he's the real deal, man.
Yeah, they do.
But they Bittersteel.
Do. Oh.
I might have to go Bittersteel.
You're gonna go Bittersteel? Okay.
Everyone says he's a freaking monster, man.
Yeah.
It's like now we're kind of going back to legends stuff. Although I'm gonna throw a wild card at you for my last one.
So we're going. You just did one. I'll do one. Then you do one. Then I'll do one.
No. So we're. That was my six. So because you went first, then it's a snake. So then I did one, two. Then see, so this is your final pick.
I have two though.
No, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Six. No, you're right. You get two, and then I get one.
I get two.
That is
correct. Then you get the wrapper up. Okay.
Yes.
I'm trying to like not pick things just to be ridiculous. Like I'm not picking Samwell Tarly or anything, but
he does kill a White Walker. Just saying.
I feel like Aemon the Dragonite.
Although Randall Tarly.
Oh yeah, yeah. He's supposed to be.
People
good.
Say he is legit.
Isn't Garland Tyrell also supposed to be legit as hell? Like, doesn't Loras say Garland was better than me?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay. The two biggest ones that we're not picking so far is definitely Daemon Blackfyre and Aemon the Dragonite. Like those are the two that are talked about the most.
Right. But that could just be legends. But Bittersteel, I know, literally fought Bloodraven and like cut his eye. So I mean, I have to feel like Bittersteel's better than Bloodraven.
Not to mention that Bittersteel is a sick name, let's be fair.
Yeah. Well, Bittersteel would have had. Does he have Blackfyre when he's fighting? Do they both have Valyrian steel?
I don't know.
I don't think they do.
We should do a Bittersteel episode.
Yeah, we should. I'm working on a big Shira Seastar thing right now. So.
Hell yeah. Okay, time to pick. I'm going to pick Criston Cole.
Hey.
That's who I wasn't sure about his martial prowess, but he's talked about so much being important. I feel like there's something in there about him being decent. And then my final one is. Sir Balon Swan.
Okay.
Big Swan fan. He's a fine knight.
Okay.
Your final pick?
My final pick is I'm picking somebody who knows what he is, knows what he isn't. Wild card. Bronn of the Blackwater, baby.
Definitely up there. Yeah, I was between him and Balon Swan.
Just a smart, you know, savvy fighter. Okay, so
I was gonna be Moon Boy.
So your list is Barristan Selmy, Jaime Lannister, Oberyn Martell, Brienne of Tarth, Sandor, Kristen Cole, and Baylan Swan.
That's a hell of a lineup.
You've got some very good leadership as well. Oberyn Martell is definitely going to do what he wants to do. You've got two tanks, essentially. You want to talk about big people in Sandor and Brienne of Tarth. And I think your Sandor and my Bronn kind of even out, because those are people who, like, you know, they're not, I mean, they are, like, Sandor is definitely more like, I would imagine, is like formally trained, but he feels like kind of street fighter, kind of, you know, street fighting. And then, yeah, you've got Kristen Cole, Baylan Swan. So you've got a lot of, you've definitely got Kingsguard. You've got some stuff. So my list, a little different. I think I have a little more like wild cards.
Okay.
Because I have Arthur Dayne and Sir Duncan the Tall.
Okay. I mean, that's a hell of a lineup already.
You could argue
Arthur Dayne's a better swordsman than Barristan.
Right. I've also got Robert Baratheon and Bittersteel. So I've definitely still got some Robert Baratheon's is my powerhouse guy.
Is Robert gonna show up though?
Yeah.
He might get drunk and forget it's happening.
But then I've got Bronn, and then I've got Jon Snow and Mance Rayder. Those are the two where it's just like, I think we kind of even each other out. So how much Valyrian steel does each side have? Arthur Dayne doesn't have Valyrian steel, but he does have a sword that might be better. We don't know. But we'll just say that is equivalent to Valyrian steel.
Arthur Dayne is the most interesting swordsman, in my opinion.
You have no Valyrian steel.
Yeah, just heart and discipline over here, bud.
I have, because Jaime Lannister doesn't get a Valyrian steel sword until after, which I would assuming was thinking about.
But he gives Oathkeeper, like, right?
But he doesn't have Oathkeeper when he can actually fight.
Okay.
He does not have Valyrian steel.
But Brienne does, right? Doesn't Brienne have Oathkeeper?
Brienne would count. Yes, you could count Brienne as having Valyrian steel.
We got one.
You have one. Well, I have just Bittersteel might have the sword. That's like the whole,
I can't,
it's
remember.
Unclear. So that's a wild card, but certainly Jon Snow has Valyrian steel.
I thought maybe you go Don Arnoy.
And then Arthur Dayne kind of has it too. Well, we talked about in this chapter. Takes down a giant.
The goat. Yeah. Tormund was also on the table, by the way. I was really close to picking Tormund.
Yeah.
But I already have two massive people, so I felt like I had to go with a little
bit. You know who I was really considering? Talon Reed.
I knew it. I actually expected you to pick Talon Reed.
I know, because it's like the chronic man magic, and so it's just like, oh, he got picked on. But I don't know, man. Something tells me he's way more capable. But he's the one who, in the books, he might just like step in and take down Arthur Dayne.
Alistair Thorne possibly could have been there.
Hey. Hey, with that, speaking of those people, let's move into today's chapter.
Good segue.
Yeah, great segue. Yeah. So I'll read the summaries here pretty short. So this is John 10, big chapter, by the way. John is taken out of his ice cell and brought once again before Janice Slint, and told that only Maester Aemon is preventing Janice from hanging John. Janice reveals that he will give John one last chance to prove his innocence, sending him to meet Mance Rayder as an envoy, but John must kill the Wildling King.
This is the new Weight Watchers, built for real life and real results, no matter what mode you're in. Maddie went all in for her big day and lost 33 pounds. Emily lost 85 pounds and hit her goal while still living her life.
Weight Watchers gave me the tools and I feel amazing.
Join the millions of members and lose weight with the number one doctor-recommended weight loss program. Lose more at weightwatchers.com.
At 6 months, participants in a clinical trial of Weight Watchers program lost an average of 12 pounds.
Beyond the wall, John meets Tormund, who treats him with respect, almost as a friend. John is brought before Mance, and the king reveals that he is aware that the Night's Watch is nearly out of provisions. Mance Rayder then brings him to see the Horn of Winter, which Mance Rayder claims they found back in the Frostfangs, but only he and his trusted lieutenants knew about it. However, Mance does not wish to use the horn, for its songs, if it can be believed, would cause the wall to collapse. The wildlings have come south, not to conquer, but to escape the others. I'm going to skip ahead here because it's kind of a long summary. However, the parley is interrupted As the wildlings have come under attack from the east, but rangers from Eastwatch. Mance believes it must be Cotter Pike, but a scout and Varamir, who has skin changed inside Oral's Eagle, tells Mance there are more ironclad attackers coming from the north and the east. When Oral's Eagle burst into flames, Varamir runs screaming from the fray. The raiders charge through the rangers, but they are overwhelmed by knights on heavy horse. Amongst their banners, John sees a seahorse, a field of birds, and a ring of flowers. Mance is surrounded and captured. After hearing the knights shout Stannis, John enters Mance's tent, where Dala is giving birth with the assistance of Val. Wow, talk about a lot going on.
And just last week, we were talking about how Stannis was mentioned and Tywin suspected that he was fighting another war. Yada, yada, yada. And here we are, Stannis showing up at the wall of all places.
Yeah.
It's a holy shit moment on your first read, I think.
It's insane. Everything. Yeah. Everything that's going on is totally insane. What a chapter, by the way. Just.
Oh, dude. This is along with the trial and Red Wedding. I mean, this book is preposterously good. Like, it's gas the whole way through.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. Sorry, my wallpaper thing was freaking out. And I'm just gonna turn it off.
I saw that.
Yeah, it's like this looping wallpaper. It's cool because when I have a video, it's like there's something going on, but it was like freezing. And I found these ones that have dogs and the baby Ellie. She just freaking loves them. She just sits and watches it. It's like a loop.
Yeah, so, yeah.
But it's been acting up weird. So I don't know if it's some sort of Mac update or something. But I didn't want to like cause my screen to freak out. So anywho, wow, so much to take away from this chapter. To me, the thing I found in re-listening this chapter, the thing that I was really paying attention to mostly was like John and Tormund's conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And like seeing how like immediate, like Tormund just greets him like a friend, which is crazy. But even still, Tormund just, that's just who he is. He could be somebody else. There's a lot of theories around that. But immediately he just like, it's like, hey, he clearly is showing up as a crow, and Tormund's just like, hey, how's it going?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things there, right? It's one, the impression that Jon Snow has made on some people beyond the wall. But I also think that Tormund has more of the view of like, hey, we're all just people at the end of the day. Like, once I get to know you, you're a person, not a crow, not a wildling, whatever it might be, which makes Tormund very likable, in my opinion. Also, think about how hard this has to be for Jon Snow. Like, already had split loyalties, everything with Ygritte, and now looking at Tormund, probably thinking this is not going to go well, then Tormund throwing him a curveball and treating him like a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Poor John, man.
Yeah, he's going through a lot. I really do like all the stuff they said about Ygritte, too. I don't know, this time it just really kind of stuck out to me a little bit more. Mm-hmm. You know, where Tormund, yeah. Like, you can tell, like, Tormund's definitely, like, disappointed to hear about it. I think not only because he liked her, but I think he also, like, respects John. And yeah. So he was really, you know, thinking about that. And then, like, John is, like, thinking of her, and yeah.
Yeah, you can feel the loss there, which is important for the fact that, you know, we didn't just see Ygritte. She died. We moved on with the story. I think Ygritte does like enough as a character that we wouldn't consider just a byproduct for Jon Snow. Like, she obviously had affected other people beyond the wall, had relationships with them. And we can kind of feel that with the way Tormund talks about her.
Yeah. So here's the segment is really good. So Tormund asks him, he says, what happens to your leg? An arrow, one of Ygritte's, I think. That's a woman for you. One day she's kissing you, the next she's filling you with arrows. She's dead. Tormund gave a sad shake of his head, a waste. If I'd been 10 years younger, I would have stolen her myself. That hair she had. Well, the hottest fires burn out quickest. He lifted the skin of the mead to Ygritte. Kissed by fire, he drank deep. To Ygritte, kissed by fire, John repeated when Tormund handed him back the skin. He drank even deeper. Was it you killed her? My brother. John had never learned which one and hoped he never would. You bloody crows. Tormund's tone was gruff yet strangely gentle. That long spear stole my daughter, Munda, my little autumn apple, took her right out of my old tent with all four of her brothers about. Torg slept through it, the great lout, and Torwind. Well, Torwind the tame, that says all that needs saying, don't it? The young ones gave the lad a fight. You know, then they go on about this whole little stuff here. But then John thinks right after that little thing, after he's telling that story, makes him think a little bit more about Ygritte. And so he says, you know, Ygritte had been fond of long spear Rick. He hoped he found some joy with Tormund's Munda. Someone needed to find some joy somewhere. And then he has this inner conversation with her, really. He says, you know nothing, Jon Snow, Ygritte would have told him. I know that I'm going to die, he thought. I know that much, at least. All men die, he could almost hear her say, and women too. And every beast that flies or swim that runs, it's not the when of dying that matters, it's how of it, Jon Snow. Easy for you to say, he thought back. You died brave in battle, storming the castle of a foe. I'm going to die a turncloak and a killer, nor would his death be quick unless it came at the end of Mance's sword.
Yeah, and then this is almost like a second chance from this point on. You can almost say Stannis saved Jon's life. And Jon, I think from this point, and whenever he becomes Lord Commander, like really is kind of a rebirth of that character, where he starts to kind of move past a lot of this stuff and a lot of the doubts that he has, and he starts to take form, like take leadership, which is pretty great. Something that sticks out to me, and this is probably really small, but Ygritte was definitely kissed by fire with red hair, but she was also kissed fire by fire because she kissed a Targaryen.
Yeah.
Like
she was also maidens kissed by Jon.
My God.
Putting that work in. I mean, geez.
Is that what the lords do beyond below the wall or whatever?
Yeah, you know what they say, man. If your tongue ain't sore, your performance was poor. So Jon is putting that work in.
I've never heard that. My God.
John's putting that work in.
He's a lover and a fighter, man.
Yeah. So
Jimmy's over there. You broke me. That was pretty good.
So anyway, a sentimental moment Jon Snow is having here in thinking of Ygritte, and it still goes back to me. We talked about this last time too, of which is like, man, which is better? It's a small change because the outcome is still the same, but like him seeing her get shot as she's about to shoot him, or
I mean, it's very Hollywood, right?
Yeah.
Feels a little more matter of the facts in the books, which that's kind of how I like my books.
I think it's both. It's just both.
It both fit the medium in which they're being told, I think.
Yeah, like, it makes the goodbye harder in. I think it makes the goodbye harder in the books because really, like, you know, he's always going to be thinking. He'll be thinking much more about that moment where. It's that's the big difference is, and we won't really get this internal monologue from Jon, but when you think about that character, he would be thinking about the moment where he decides, now I have to go back to the wall, right? And he turns from her because that's really the last moment he has with her. And then he just finds her. So you would always be in that scenario thinking of like, man, maybe if I had done things differently, was it all worth it? As opposed to in the show, you seeing her there and then her being killed by Ollie, you would be thinking, man, if only I had gotten to her sooner. Right. Then who knows? Yeah. Then who knows? I mean, it kind of takes away from that moment and makes some other things. So it's one of those things where it's like, it's two different ways to tell a story. Both are good. And it's just a different way to do it.
Yeah. And we can always expect the drama to be ramped up in the visual medium. I mean, it happens all throughout Game of Thrones and has happened elsewhere in the universe as well. And sometimes I think that's the right call. Sometimes I actually do think like cranking up the drama, and even though it might be like slightly ridiculous at times, I think it works.
Yeah. Well, it's just like Night of the Seven Kingdoms. We talked about some of the changes there and stuff like that. Yeah. I actually, I just rewatched the final episode again, by the way. And so just got a different viewpoint of it. Man, what a banger.
It's so incredibly good.
I'm just like, wow, this is.
I was so pessimistic going into it. Like, not that it would be bad, but remember, I was like, there's no way people are going to like it. It's too slow. And I was wrong.
It's good, and people think it's good. Just rewatching it. And so, like, now it's like I've been removed, like, you know, week or two or however long it's been, like 2-3 weeks. And man, just seeing that final episode again. Oh,
I missed it already.
Oh, I've been listening to the song. So underrated, the theme and the music in that.
Yeah, besides the weird jazz outro.
Well, no, there was a jazz intro and then like a blues song outro.
Yeah, whatever it was. It was weird. Yeah, it was odd, but that's fine.
Odd choice. okay, so diving back into the chapter here. So we get Val in this chapter. We get Dala. There's a baby being born. Was this baby perhaps supposed to be born amidst salt and smoke? You know,
that is a question that has been asked for about 10 years.
Right. And then also you think about it. It's like, was this baby supposed to be a bigger deal with the time jump?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. And I would honestly say yes, because I think with the time jump and what we know, it definitely felt like George was prepping like that next generation, like people who'd be coming into the age where they can be major characters. Mm-hmm. Obviously we're thinking of what's the Ned from Dorne?
Arthur or Ned Dane.
Yeah, Ned Dane.
Edric Dane.
Edric Dane. Like obviously we talked about him, and then Darkstar being like what he was supposed to be. And then I mean, even like little things like Gendry, like getting older by 5 years. Like there's just a lot there. So my guess, Matt, is that yes, I think it was supposed to probably be a bigger deal.
Yeah, that's something we should do maybe for like a Patreon episode where we talk about like just how different, how much there are some things that would be better. Like Bran would be like leveled up, right? Like I think you can look at where a lot of these characters are and you can see like how he thought, man, a time like Rickon being on Skagos. Time jump would have been a much needed thing for him, because now he can come back and maybe he can fight a little bit, right? Arya training, like a lot of these people go into things where if there were a time jump, they would all just be that much better, like with it. Like maybe like with a 5 year time jump, Jaime Lannister suddenly just as good with his left hand as he was with his right. Like
absolutely possible.
Small things that just drastically change everything. Like Daenerys, oh, it takes 5 years and now she's like built up an army and she's fixed the cities. There's just so much stuff you could do with it. Mm-hmm. Like Tommen would be older. Man, that's a lot.
Yeah, Cersei would also be older. Jaime would be older. But then, and this is why the 5 year gap is ultimately gotten rid of, is because Stannis is at the wall. Does he sit at the wall for 5 years? I doubt it.
I don't think so.
Would Jaime and Cersei not have any significant interactions in 5 years? They definitely would. And then he would have to retrospectively tell us that. Then we get
right. Is Bran going to be searching for Arya Stark for 5 years?
Correct. Correct. Yeah. And, you know, this is why planning your story ahead of time can be helpful. But the thing is that there are things that we don't get without the 5 year gap, but we would never even have known that. I don't think any of us would have noticed that there was supposed to be a 5 year gap unless if he told us, which he did. Right. So like, to me, the story still works fabulously.
Yeah, like, yeah, I don't think John would have been dead for 5 years, but I think John could have been Lord Commander for 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Sam's training at the Citadel for however long, it could be 5 years.
I'll be honest, I don't really like time skips that much, so I'm kind of glad
that it right.
happened. Especially right. the aftermath of everything that happens in this. Like,
well, he puts a time skip in Fever Dream, so maybe he was. And we've talked about whether we like that or don't. You know,
yeah, he was kind of cooking there, though. He was kind of so cooking. Good.
But that is how this ends, and it does make me think about that, because you have like Sam's baby and this baby, which he does like the baby swap. And he has mm-hmm. some sort of plan with it. And the show obviously dropped the ball on that, because it felt like something was going to happen with these babies.
We kind of forgot about the babies.
Yeah, I think George did too. And I don't know that anything's going to matter.
Well, Dance of Dragons, there's definitely stuff that alludes that something's coming. With them.
The only thing I can think of that could happen with like this baby could, in theory, that makes sense to me is that maybe Melisandre like sacrifices it for like King's blood, thinking it's King's blood, but she's the one who does the swap, so she knows.
Yeah, I don't think that's
you know it. Like that's the only thing I could think of, but I don't know. I mean, unless it's like Stannis goes crazy and before he kills his own, before he burns Shireen, he's like, well, let's burn that baby because it has king's blood. And then
I mean, that'd be insane.
Well, he's going to burn Shireen.
I mean, Shireen is definitely the biggest shock factor, right? Like that's
sure,
one of the moments in the series.
But he could say there's king's blood in that baby, and then maybe Melisandre goes along with it because she like swapped the babies and Stannis doesn't know about it, and then like nothing happens. And so that could be that's like the only thing I can think of that matters with that baby swap. Otherwise, it's just never gonna amount to anything.
Well, I mean, it could. We just don't know. Like that's the hardest thing is like we just don't know. There's a lot of stuff that would appear it's going nowhere. Like I would honestly argue that Euron is very oddly placed at this point in the story. Like when we end it, like it is very unclear, like outside of his immediate actions, like where Euron ends up.
Right.
Part of that's probably because we know the ending's different than the show in some ways, but I think we still kind of think of that. And then we're like, well, how do we get there? But I mean, the truth is we may never get to some of those places. So it's like, I mean, I'm curious. I want to see it. I really want to figure out what it is. But, you know, I would also say Ned Dane. It's another question. Like, what's he going to do with him? He's not going to just leave him out to dry, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't think so. Okay, but that is ultimately how this ends is with that baby. Man, total curveball too. The first time you're probably reading this, and it's like Stannis shows up. Whoa, you know. Although I mean, you do kind of get, yeah. And it's just like, what is going on? As Stannis just comes north of the wall, here
comes the cavalry.
Here comes the cavalry. So I mean, we're gonna take out the others and take out the thing. I mean, almost be like, hey, no, we're here to join forces with you guys to take out the others. But the way Stannis clearly would view, wildlings is like, no, you guys are definitely less than us, and this is your realm that you belong in.
Yeah, Stannis isn't the most empathetic guy in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, that is one of the big things in this chapter. There's the Horn of Winter, and then
sure, getting let's talk reminded about that.
About the others, right? Like, we forget, but the prologue was a long time ago, and the other stuff is just sprinkled in here and there. But, you know, this is the entire wildlings population saying, yeah, we're running from the others.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a like, big deal.
They're scared and they have cannibals. Like think about
it. Right. That. Which is almost like why you'd almost think. And they don't ever touch about this, but you would want to think that blowing the Horn of Winter would be a bluff. Right. Like even for Mance Rayder, like clearly somebody with enough reason inside of the story, like if you're trying to escape the others, why are you going to blow the Horn of Winter and take down the wall? Because then they could cross the wall. Which is maybe what's going to happen, by the way. But you know, you would maybe try to reason that out.
I think maybe it's to say, well, like it's either that or we're dead, right? Like mm-hmm. if they can't get like, so you might as well drop the wall to give yourself at least a little more time. Maybe everyone will wake up and join forces with you to fight this existential threat. But I mean, if you're the wildlings, if you stop at the wall, it's over. Bring it down. Dude,
hold on.
Crumple the system.
Keep going. I think I just had a big theory.
Oh boy. This is going to be big, folks. Also, this episode is brought to you by Manscaped. Use BTKK. BTK.
I think it's actually brought to you by the Peace Force.
The Peace Force?
Yeah, we did an ad. We got an ad for the Peace Force. Peace Corps.
Oh, did we?
We did. I read it.
I mean, I'm down for peace.
Yeah. Not Craig and Stark. Who's the Stark who didn't kneel?
Who the Stark, didn't kneel or did kneel? Yeah.
The Stark who did kneel to Aegon the Conqueror.
Kragan, right?
Well, there's multiple Kragan Starks, right?
Oh. Who was the Stark that bent the knee? I'm pretty sure it's Kragan Stark. No, it's Torrhen Stark. Sorry.
Torrhen Stark.
That's the last thing in the north.
Yes. Okay, dude. I'm gonna have to do some math here. But hear me out. On the Horn of Winter.
Okay.
We've talked about the Horn of Winter, right? And like, is it swapped with Dragonbinder? Like, that's what we've thought would be like an interesting play. Is that the horn that, I mean, of course, Sam could have the Horn of Winter with him, which is this like old horn. That'd be certainly a fun way to do it too. I mean, that could still be the case. Mm-hmm. But we've talked about like perhaps they're swapped. But what if like part of the pact that Torrhen Stark had with like, hey, I'm going to kneel, but I'm going to need something in return. What if it's like, hey, I have this, because now we know at least Aegon has this prophecy of the others that are out there.
Yeah, he definitely had vision of the others too. Like some people say that show, and that is true. The passing down is true. But George has said,
What if that's how the horns got swapped? Was the Targaryens could possibly have a horn like Dragonbinder? That's like, this is a horn we could, like a worst case scenario, we could control our dragons with. And Torrhen Stark has the Horn of Winter. Well, this is a horn that can bring down the wall. And it's like a swap as like a pact.
I like it.
I'm going to have to do way more diving into it. The thought just crossed my head. The timeline might not even work at all. But I was just like, oh, because we've always talked about the horns being swapped.
So when were they swapped is the question.
But that could be a moment. And it would make sense that it would have to be sometime with like a Targaryen and a Stark.
So to be just a nut right now, I immediately just want to assume Blood Ravens evolved.
Could be.
Like, to me, it's always Blood Raven.
Whether in present time or in...
it always time. Comes back to Blood Raven on Bend the Knee.
Right.
Alan Reed and Blood Raven.
Seriously. But does that make sort of make sense?
It does, but you wonder if the Starks were handed the Dragonbinder, why they wouldn't just blow it immediately and be like,
well, because gotcha. Because then they would have...
Then they drop the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'm seeing what you're saying. It's like we both have nuclear weapons, so we don't use them kind of deal.
Yeah, because otherwise, I mean, it could just be that you just have these two horns and they just exist completely separate of each other.
Would you say it's a Cold War, Matt?
Could be. All right. Yeah. But I mean, I guess, why would there be a Dragonbinder horn somewhere over in, like, Valyria that...
That's the question.
Bring it on the wall. Yeah, I know.
Well, I mean, honestly, the dragon binding horn, I could buy into just because Valyria had so many dragons.
Sure.
So like maybe they wouldn't be at the time.
The whole deal is it's probably the horn they have is not the horn they think it is, and Sam probably actually has the Horn of Winter.
And is there some sort of crossover between swapping babies and swapping horns? Like, is there some sort of like symbolism? Is there a reason?
We just always thought that it would be really interesting if Euron goes to blow the horn thinking it's Dragonbinder.
And he brings down the wall.
That'd be like the holy. Otherwise, like how's the wall gonna get brought down? Is Sam just gonna blow it? Or like, you know, or Sam like realizes he's the one who has it. And then does it get used? I feel like it's gonna have to get used, is the thing. And I just don't see a scenario in which Sam's just like, well, and just blows it and the horn, you know, the wall comes down. I mean, unless maybe it's the only way to like save all the wildlings. Maybe like John blows it because it's the only way to save all the wildlings. Like they're at the gate and it's like the only way to save them all.
Yeah, and that's kind of my thought is like they probably don't really want to blow that horn, but if they have to, they're going to. It's the nuclear option for them.
Yeah. Yeah, well, okay.
How does that wall come down, though? I mean, that is.
They bring it up here and they talk about it. It's like, well, I'll just blow. I can blow that horn, and the whole wall can come down. So you're either gonna let us through, or one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Tormund Giantsbane will sound the Horn of Winter 3 days hence at dawn. If you refuse,
man. That'd have been crazy if that had like George went that way with it.
But then immediately George blows a different horn. Right? So like immediately John hears it, and then you hear a horn blown and it's Stannis. So he's already done the like thing.
And is kind of a false
finish. It's very George writing.
God. This chapter's awesome.
It's so good. okay. Well, I think that's a good place to stop. Next week, by the way, one of my favorite chapters ever.
Arya 8, right?
I think it's Arya 12.
13.
Even better. Yeah. The and at the crossroads, man. The tickler. Boy. Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one time I was quoting it from the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I said a certain C word, and I got like 5 emails immediately. Like, I cannot believe you said that word. I'm like, I'm sorry. I didn't know I was going to offend people. It's Game of Thrones. I was just quoting the guy.
I have so many Irish and Australian friends. I say the C word all the time.
I'm sure.
So. It's just not that big of a deal other places.
So it's like, okay, if it offends people, I will not say. I don't think it's actually in the next chapter. So
very nice.
Very nice. But anyway, I think it's like top three scenes for me. I think it's the funniest scene in all of Game of Thrones.
It's very good.
I think it's like the best, like, oh, it's about to go down. See,
the tension you could cut with a knife.
It's so good. It's top five scenes for me. Okay. All right. Well, with that, as always, I want to thank you guys for playing the Game of Thrones. In our next episode, we will be discussing A Storm of Swords, Chapter 74, Arya 13. You are correct.
And if you like our podcast, don't forget to subscribe, like us, write a review, leave a comment, or send us a raven at btkcast@gmail.com or bendtheneepodcast.com.
We will see you next time. And remember that winter is coming.